Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Good morning, John, and welcome to the very first Call from the Dáil of the new year. It is January 16th, and it was only this week that the Dáil and the Shannon came back from their Christmas break.
Absolutely. Here we go. Signal that, look, whatever, all excuses are over. You cannot claim anything to do with Christmas or New Year or anything anymore. We're at it and we're at it. And we'd better get on with it.
First of all this talk about Pascal Donoghue and the money he gave to the World Bank, and of course that he is now working for the World Bank. This is the decision back in April when he was Minister for Finance to give the World Bank over 141 million euro. Tell us more.
Yeah, there are various questions put in by the opposition, by People Before Profit, pursued also by the Social Democrats, asking about the timeline on all of this. And of course, look, quite blatantly, the question being asked here is, did Pascal Donoghue come over, use Irish taxpayers' money, give 10 million more to the World Bank then we needed to give them, and did that just happen to coincide with his getting a job with a package, salary package of the order of $500,000 a year? So the government side determinedly is no such thing. I note that the finance committee, of the Dáil, voted by 8-5 on Wednesday not to summon Pascal Donoghue to explain himself at Leinster House. The finance department go through it in some detail. This was something that was hashed through at some length in 2024, and the guts of a deal. The Taoiseach insists that there is an argument, and that officials suggested the contribution should be of the order of 150 million, and that by one calculation, our contribution was almost 159 million. Up against 160 million compared to the 141 that was eventually paid over. The Taoiseach says, yes, the lowest of the low. There was a sort of parameters here in this. It's funding for some of the world's poorest countries. He argues that we kind of went for a middle range option. We kind of picked the one in the middle. So it seems to rest there. And I think people will make their own judgments on Pascal as to whether he would engage in that type of behaviour. Also, another point to be made is, did he ever need to engage in that type of behaviour? He was three times the chairperson of the Eurogroup. I encountered him, I saw him in action in Brussels in that role. I think his name was associated with a lot of very similar jobs in that kind of multinational, multilateral framework. If it wasn't going to be there, it was perhaps something in the EU, something in the European Central Bank, something in the likes of UNESCO or one of the other organizations. So on balance, you know, the government argument that, look, there really isn't much to see here, that does chime as of now until maybe there is more to this. Maybe we need to see more. But on what's available here and now, I would say advantage Pascal Donoghue.
And given, as you said, John, that the Finance Committee, the Oireachtas Finance Committee, has voted against seeking Pascal Donoghue's attendance to explain why he recommended this contribution of over 141 million euro to the World Bank, I imagine, unless something else emerges, that probably is the end of it.
I think it is, yes. Unless something, you know, falls out of the woodwork, something untoward, I think that's it.
interesting, because we got a lot of calls and comments about that this week. So I'm glad we could talk about it there, John.
It is. I mean, it is fair enough. You know, everyone will say, well, people before profit, that's what they do. And on the other hand, they'd be shouting, look, it's not enough. You should be giving more to the world's poor. But in reality and in fairness to the others, it is their job to field these questions and have them thrashed out publicly.
Well, when we come back, John, we will talk about another topic that's been of great interest to listeners on Radio Kerry and to the Kerry Today Show. This is about the 10 ministers who still haven't paid back overpayments from the state. We'll get to that very shortly. And if you have a question or an observation for John Downing, political reporter with the Irish Independent, get your queries into us, 066 712 3666.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John, as I said, a lot of talk and a lot of interest over these 10 serving ministers who have still not paid back overpayments from the state. This relates to, I think, to a miscalculation of pension deductions. And a number, I think a number of the ministers have come out and said that they're among the 10 who haven't repaid the overpayments. I understand Norma Foley, the senior minister here in Kerry, she is not one of them. She's not one of the 10 ministers.
Yeah, she has. Norma Foley has made it clear. In fact, somebody from her office just minutes ago, again reiterating that she's not in the firing line. She wasn't overpaid. She doesn't have anything to pay back. Other people in that category are the Minister for Agriculture, in the news for other reasons this week. Martin Hayden is also home free, never arose, doesn't happen. Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan. I know they're more recent appointees, so maybe that has something to do with it, but never overpaid, nothing to pay back. That's important. Patrick, staying down our country, Radio Kerry, and crossing the border into Limerick at Tarbert, Patrick O'Donovan is among those in the firing line. And Patrick O'Donovan is among those who have said that they're talking to the people and to the ambit of the government public service. They're called the National Shared Services Office. And they basically do wages and pensions across the civil service and public sector, as far as I know. I will say this: it is very annoying. I have been in a previous life. I have been in that type of situation where the employer came to me and said, the wages office basically came, personnel section came to me and said, you know what? You owe us 10 grand. We've been overpaying you for a while now. And it is quite a slap in the face. And I did what some of these ministers are doing, including Patrick O'Donovan. I asked an accountant friend of mine to look over it because it was beyond me to kind of do the sums. So this is what Patrick O'Donovan and some others are saying. James Brown, the Minister for Housing, is another of Fianna Fáil. They're saying, look, they're in negotiations to make sure, because it is reasonable to say, well, if you made a mess of it in your original calculations, let's be sure that your recalculations are correct. So that is going on. However, it has to be said, the sums of money in some cases are pretty large. 10 serving ministers, Trasa, as you say, haven't resolved this. It has been going on. It first came to light last June, so it is dragging on a bit. In individual cases, in some cases, I would imagine longer serving ministers, sums of up to 30,000 are involved.
30,000.
It is reasonable to say that this money should be paid back in stages, by the way, also. I mean, basically, there is of course, Sinn Féin are using this to have a good go at the government. It's their job. Fair play to them. You know, nothing wrong in principle with that. However, I will say that politicians, no more than any worker, are entitled to fair play and correct calculations and all that when it comes to wages and pensions. There are up to 17 former ministers who have yet to put in place a repayment plan. Thing is, there was one, when this was thrashed out in the Dáil the other day, Peter Burke, the minister speaking for the government, came up with one killer line, which was, look, lads, if this ain't resolved, there will be a question mark about the payment of pensions. So I think this has to get real. It's been going on since last June, but everybody is entitled to fair play. Yes, ministers are well paid compared to the
ordinary
person.
And it's taxpayers' money.
Yes, that is a key issue. It's not public money. I hate that phrase anyway. It's taxpayers' money. The trouble with public money is it ends up being nobody's money. And as you said, Trasa, yes, this is taxpayers' money, and it has to be. This one has to be resolved, and sooner rather than later. It may be harder to get at 17 former ministers, but I think the question raised by Peter Burke on behalf of the government, saying, "Do you know what, lads? If this thing ain't fixed amicably, there's going to be question about pension payments, and we may have to be moving in that direction sooner rather than later."
And we have a comment in from someone who clearly is a bit of a fan of Pascal Donoghue. Tom says, just another example of Paul Murphy and the usual gang throwing dirt and hoping it would stick. Pascal was our greatest ever Minister for Finance. To be fair, I do think they have legitimate questions to pose. And it was a valid issue to raise. But thank you for getting in touch, Tom. We don't have a lot of time left, John, but obviously the story, and it's a story that's dominated not just Ireland, but the whole world. But the scurrilous conduct and the scurrilous conduct of Elon Musk's platform X,
yes,
and
yes,
their AI chatbot Grok, which had a tool which allowed you basically to undress real people, including children. They've now announced these measures to in certain areas where it's illegal, if you can believe it, rather than just stop it wholesale, but they're going to geo-block the ability of all Grok and X users to create images of people in bikinis, underwear and similar attire in those jurisdictions where such actions are deemed illegal, which seems deeply cynical to my mind, but sure, what would I know? But they were in the firing line this week at the Oireachtas Committee.
Yes, and eventually and reluctantly, and I mean, it is outrageous. The principal, of course, the main man at X, previously known as Twitter, Elon Musk, said he found this very, very funny. He couldn't stop laughing at the whole thing, like a schoolboy. I mean, really and truly. And of course, their main line of defense is media legacy. That's you and me, Trasa. Mm-hmm. Legacy media lies. Lies? If the Irish Independent, Radio Kerry, other mainstream media organisations were doing a fraction of this, we'd have had a flying squad, big black boots, straight through the door, and rightly so. So X are doing this, and as you say, their latest remedy to desist where it is illegal. Well, it's already happily, it's in theory illegal to involve children in any of this type of cahootery, but to be doing it to adults it's equally, it's hurtful, it's abusive, it's a breach of all sorts. So, and arguably already illegal, but laws need to be clarified and strengthened. But
and when you come to,
finally,
and unfortunately,
some movement.
Yeah, and finally, John, unfortunately, we're out of time. Does this raise uncomfortable questions for our political class? Because so many people are employed by these tech pros, that Ireland is the European headquarters for so many of these social media platforms, and they give us all this tax and blah, blah, blah. Is there has up to now that reluctance to move against them? Is it all bound up in the fact that we are economically dependent on them to a large extent and fear of Donald Trump?
I fear that is quite simply the case, and it does raise all sorts of other questions. It also raises questions for the likes of X, supposedly a media and communications organisation, whom it is well nigh impossible to get them to answer a set of very simple questions. But yes, I fear Ireland, the Irish authorities have up to now behaved as though their hand was in the dog's mouth. And on this, we are overdue quite some action. And that is only the more blatant example of abuses perpetrated by these organisations.
Well, everybody should be held to account if something has gone wrong, or had something wrong has been done, or suspected wrong has been done. John, we'll leave it there. We'll return to it next week, no doubt, with Jerry. Thank you and have a great weekend. Call from the Dáil, get your comments in. After 10, we will be focusing on Dingle.